Welcome to Surf Sessions. We're really excited to have you on this episode and pick your brain about all things board and board management. Really excited to have you, Rob Kaczmarek here, CEO and founder of InBanks. And before we get started in this, awesome interview, do you want to just take a few minutes and introduce yourself, your company, what stage you're at, and kind of the startup journey that you're on?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. And I appreciate being here and you inviting me to this. This has been a pleasure. So a little bit about InBanks. InBanks is a budgeting and spend control financial solution for really mid-market businesses. But we're also bringing it through community and regional banks to better serve their smaller business clients. And so we're doing that by way of bank partnerships. So it's kind of a, it's a, it's a innovative fintech model because we are not disrupting the banking market. We're actually kind of enabling it. And so it's we're looking at it as an evolution of fintech into more of an enabling model with the banks. And so yeah, that's a little bit about the business. Where we started, geez, long, long time ago. It seems longer than I guess it really has, but the InBanks itself, the idea kind of came from a previous experience I had with one of my businesses that we took global. And in taking that business global, I realized that early on, when you're small, all the technology around finance works. You have a card program that's, presumably by a community or a regional bank in your region. And eventually you kind of grow out of that and you start to grow as a business and your finance tech stack starts to kind of fall off. And so where you can use Expensify, you can't use it anymore. You have to go to Concur. QuickBooks doesn't work anymore. You got to go to NetSuite, and Concur and NetSuite are troublesome. And that was the experience I had, at least. And so as that business grew and grew and grew, we ended up having three offices in Asia and five in Europe. We use Concur to kind of manage our expense reporting. Our card program was Amex and JP Morgan, and then we had NetSuite, and the entirety of that business was run off Excel spreadsheets. And so terrifying to think, approaching a $200 million business is run off Excel spreadsheets, but it is, and a lot of businesses are run that way today. And the honest answer so why that is because it's easy and nobody's really going after that problem. And so I had that experience, verified that that was a common problem kind of in the mid-market space, and decided in 2020 to dedicate time to figuring out if this was something I wanted to do and big enough to do. And in 2021, I formed the company, brought on my two co-founders, and we have been running ever since. And so, yeah, a little bit about the experience. This is a completely, I've done this multiple times, and this particular business has been so drastically different than any other business that I've done. It's really profound because I would have thought there were some similarities, but I don't know if it was the pandemic, the environment, the shift in kind of workforce to more remote, the high interest rates. I think it's just a culmination of the world we live in today. But yeah, it's been quite an experience.
Yeah, and we'll definitely get into talking about kind of that shift to remote work, and especially, in the context of board management, like having remote board meetings is still something that's really new for a lot of people. So yeah, we'll definitely dig into that later on. It's interesting listening to you talk about, being a startup in the fintech space. I have to imagine that comes with a lot of need for really good governance, compliance, reporting, things like that. Is that the case?
Yeah, it's funny because my head goes to real time, like real time. R whatever it is, it's got to be real time, right? And a lot of the stuff in banking, especially around money laundering, BSA rules, OFAC, like a lot of that stuff is not necessarily prevention. It's more reporting piece of it. And it's do you have policies and procedures to in fact detect and then report effectively. And so there's a lot of, it's not about the time per se from an event to the reporting of an event. It's about the consistency and the solidness of the procedure that that event triggers. And so the soundness of procedures and having policies and procedures in place that are sound and do not break down over scale is something that is done very early in the business's life, which is very unique because I don't think any other industry does that aside from banking, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, being an early stage company, you know, part of why we're really excited to talk to you in particular is that so many, you know, seed stage, early stage, small startups don't have boards and don't have those really robust reporting processes or governance practices. And I feel like, you know, you're sort of in this industry where that's fundamentally important. It's always important, but especially in the financial industry, you know, and I'm wondering kind of what that experience has been like having a board at such an early stage. Is that something that's been valuable to you? Have there been pros and cons of that experience? I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah. I came out of my last experience and I find that every experience you have, and just as a person, right, you constantly are growing and learning and refining. And one of the kind of takeaways I had from my last experience with that mid-market business was I just want to do great things with great people. Like that's it. And I've kind of taken that and baked it into InBanks and what we were doing. And that has been consistent and a consistent theme throughout the journey of InBanks and really since the inception of InBanks. And so, you know, when I formed, I brought in my two co-founders, and both of those co-founders have done really, really great things. You know, Aaron had been part of a founding team that of a company that got acquired by Google and then Symantec, and then ran architecture for HomeAway, VRBO, Experian, those types of things. And my other co-founder is Steve Burt, and he's a little bit, you know, been a partner at PwC for 26 years. He's, you know, been president and CEO of private equity and VC backed companies. And so these two guys had been around me and along with a whole other network of folks that I have. But, you know, when I kind of told them what I wanted to do, it was like these two got excited about it. And that was to me exciting, and they're great people. And then that's kind of how we've built this team, is we've just kind of looked for great people that want to strive for greatness and want to kind of push themselves to grow. And so that we took that same theory, theme, and uniqueness and brought it to our investment and investment partners. And that was, we were in fintech when fintech was hot and everybody wanted to be a fintech. And so the noise was loud around us. What we were doing, some people thought might be interesting. Other people thought, it's probably not going to be interesting. And so we talked to, I literally pitched over 93 investors. And a lot of them would say, yeah, it might be something, might not, I don't know. No, we're not interested. We're interested, but you're not at the right stage. I mean, any possible polite no to mean no that you could possibly get. And I say that and because we ended up with two of the best investors that I could ever wanted, which is Social Leverage and Castle Creek's Launchpad. So that whole experience was very tiring, very grueling. But at the end of it, we got two great investment firms. Ryan Gilbert sits on our board. I'm the other board member. We did not fill out the third board member, so we kept the board small. I had some investors that were helping in a safe raise. One of them, Anna Garcia, and she's a dear friend of mine, and she actually was saying, you know, you probably want to push off the board. You probably want to push off the board. You don't need a board now. You have your advisory board. You're running it like a board. You kind of push off the board. You'll know when you need a board. And, you know, we got through the end of, we got through the end of last year, and that kicked us off into this year. And that as soon as we got Castle Creek and Social Leverage in talking about investing in the seed stage, was like, okay, this is the right time for a board. And so it kind of naturally happened, and we didn't really force it. We didn't prevent it. We just let it happen. And actually, I can honestly say, a small board, we get a lot done. We have observers that are on the board around us, and that help quite a lot. And we move things. We move really quickly.
Yeah, and I think that's such a misconception. When people think about having a board, there's this kind of idea that comes to mind that's like, oh, I need to get, you know, this huge group of people together, and I'm going to have to run every decision by every single board member. When actually, yeah, your board can literally be you and one other person. And you can move really efficiently regardless of the size of your board if you're, you know, implementing best practices. And I think that's something that especially, you know, first-time founders can be really like wary of. having a board seems scary, but actually can be hugely beneficial. I'm wondering if there are any, you know, kind of particular ways that you would say, particularly being, you know, an early stage company, that having a board has been a benefit to you.
100%. I mean, just connections, the amount of help you get when you're stuck, or when you're looking like you're thinking that you're stuck, some perspective on business decisions that you might not otherwise have is always a huge help. And somebody that's as invested in the business's success as you are is always a huge help. So there are countless things that are a help at that stage with the right board member. I never had the experience, but I've been kind of told the experience by some folks that are around us and advisors to the board or on the board, and have said that they've seen, you know, the wrong board member be destructive to a company. And it's almost like, I don't know what we did to prevent the wrong people from being around us, but I do know that we have the right people around us, and it feels right. And going, the one best practice that I think that I've taken away from this experience was, I came from the experience of having a board. I mean, we had the CTO of 7-Eleven, and, you know, they're like big folks on a board. And I got advisors early on within banks, and I ran those advisor board meetings as a board meeting. We just did them quarterly. We did them all virtual because it was during the pandemic and thereafter, and everybody was distributed. But that then kind of tailed off, and the actual board meeting took off. And it was, that worked really well for this business.
Yeah, I would love to talk about how you're managing your board meetings. Are you doing them in person? Are you doing them remotely? Are you implementing a hybrid model? What does that look like?
So right now, where our first board meeting was in person, and we ordered a bunch of barbecue and had a great meeting. And so it was good. We were kind of the other thing, I think we were coached and I agreed with it, but we were coached that, you know, you're an early stage company. Like, don't the board meeting's important, but it's not too important. Like, you know, kind of do it, but we'll talk through things.
Don't over index on it.
don't over index, spend too much. The quote was, don't spend too much time on it. Right. And I knew, okay, I understand what that means. But we're doing a hybrid model, which is one board meeting a year in person, and then three hybrid or three virtual. That may change. And this year we had our first one physical. So the folks flew into town in Austin, Texas. We did it. Our next one will be virtual. And then we're going to actually be out on the West Coast at an event with one of our investors, which we'll do the board meeting then and there in the West Coast. So we'll get like two face-to-face, two virtuals this year. But that seems to work. And it seems like everybody can allocate the time and the commitment to be there. So it's it's been a little bit easier to get everybody together, certainly with a hybrid model.
Yeah, definitely. Trying to meet in person 4 times a year and get everybody's schedules lined up is a monumental task. Yeah, those virtual meetings are great. But it is interesting. It's such a different model. There's pros and cons to being in person, and there's pros and cons to doing meetings remotely. It's interesting. It sounds like, you've worked pretty closely with your board, even though you have only had that one in-person meeting so far this year. Are there things that you do to, keep those lines of communication open between meetings and like have that more collaborative approach to getting help from your board or getting past those moments where you think like, oh, are we stuck? Have you been able to do that asynchronously with some success?
Yeah, and I guess my communication tendency sometimes is to over communicate even to a fault. So I think for that for that piece, I do I have we have talked quite a bit, brought up challenges with them, areas where I thought we might be really stuck or maybe perceived that we were stuck, but we weren't stuck. Got input and feedback on certain decisions I made. So I use the board as more than just a stuffy like board, let's go, sign off on some agreements, but more like a counselor or coaching platform that you can go to and you can say, hey, here's what I think is happening. Am I wrong? Is this normal, right? And a lot of times, we have Castle Creek, and so I can go to them and say, this is what I think is the bank is doing. Is that right? And they'll come back and say either yeah, that is, or that no, they may be doing this on the backside, and it just appears to be this way. So there's certain things that we communicate back and forth with that very helpful.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Another one of the misconceptions that we hear all the time, and I mean, we live and breathe board management all day long. And one of the things we hear over and over again is this feeling that, like, I don't want to have a board because it's this group of people that I just have to report to, and they're just evaluating my performance. And it's this sort of idea that it's a very one-way relationship. Like, it's your job to live up to your board's expectations and just report. As opposed to seeing it as like, these are a group of people who have expertise that I don't have, who have connections that I don't have. And if I can tap into that, that's a huge advantage for me. And it sounds like that's what you've been able to do.
Yeah, the way that I look at the board is I think that staying humble, irregardless, like I'm a steward of knowledge. So I always love to learn. I always love listening to people's stories, understanding people's perspective, understanding what people went through, what they're going through. And so I have the pleasure to have board members that have far more success in the fintech space than I've ever had, right? And to have those individuals that you can then call and ask questions is like something to me that is very humbling, and I'm very grateful for having the folks around me that I have, because they all are experts in their field and what they do, and they've had numerous knockdowns and get ups and experiences that help to shape them and their learning. And so to tap into that is a huge advantage, especially as you're trying to navigate early on your product market fit, your early customers, the feedback. How do you funnel in feedback? How do you use that to develop your feature set? What are your hurdles you're looking for? Or, everybody's looking at ARR. Is that right? And it's like you got a million different questions, and really what you need to do is focus on execution, drive your product in and hone it and refine it, and the revenue will come.
Yeah, definitely. And it's great that you've had this, such a positive experience working with your board and working through these, challenges that have come up and Sounds like it's something that you personally have really valued, which I think is great. I'm wondering too, with having a co-founder and what you've described as like a pretty seasoned team on your side, are you sort of splitting board meeting prep amongst yourselves? Is that something that you're doing as a team? Are you really leading that as the founder and CEO? How have you been approaching that?
I'm a big proponent to having co-founders around you and just having people around you that have that expertise space, right? In their certain practice. And so I've let my co-founders kind of take their world and build and report their world how they wanted to and how they want to. And so I certainly go in and talk about where we are, what's important to us, what things we've accomplished, what we're looking forward to, what we want to accomplish in the future. And I let my co-founders kind of do their own presentation. And I actually let our early on, we hired an account executive to kind of manage our customers. And I even bring her in to kind of talk about our sales cycle, what our sales look like, what our customers are saying, some of the feedback they're giving us, some of the challenges we might have, some of the solutions that I've proposed to those challenges, like get their take on it. And so it really kind of opened up board access to a lot of the other folks on the team, which has been pretty valuable to us too.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that people can be kind of hesitant to do for a variety of reasons. You obviously increase some complexity just in terms of logistics, or maybe you have people on a team that aren't super comfortable meeting with your board. But yeah, I think it's great to be able to have people report on their own kind of area of expertise, whether that's in board meetings or, putting together reports outside of meetings and just being able to keep that information really top of mind for your investors from the people who are really in the weeds every single day.
And that's one of the niceties about the platform Surfboard is that we delegate different pieces of the board meeting, and those individuals are responsible for kind of putting together what they want to present and how they want to present it. And so for us, it makes everything unified in one platform, but it also brings together and lets people give a chance to express kind of the way they want to express. And that piece is nice too.
Yeah, and we're obviously biased, but we've designed Surfboard to be like a very collaborative space, something that you can use in a variety of different ways. Not every team approaches work the same way. Not every board approaches board meetings the same way. Like these tools need to be really flexible, so different people can kind of get advantage out of it instead of trying to, conform to fit what the tool is designed to do. And it's great that you've been able to kind of delegate that work across your team, and they can really just take total ownership over those areas.
Yeah, and the other thing is that the format does not stay necessarily consistent. I mean, the high overarching format of a board meeting does, but how you're presenting and what you're presenting are oftentimes different. So when you're pre-revenue to when you're actually generating revenue, like the things you report on your finances are different. Product market fit, when you're developing out your product roadmap before you have that product market fit, it's different than after you have the product market fit and you're driving retention and customer expansion. So there's different nuances to the board meeting that happen at different stages, and to have the flexibility of the tool to be able to handle that is amazing. Because in my past, I've just had like pop-up PowerPoints or keynotes, and you sit in a room and you go over them, and okay, the next guy comes in and let's do this one. And it's been stuffy and not very great or informative in
Yeah.
my previous. Yeah, we actually got out of this our first board meeting, and my co-founder Steve, who has extensive experience, walks out and he looks at me and he goes, "That's the best board meeting I've ever been in."
I mean, which is probably high praise, especially if you have people who have been on, all sorts of boards for major companies. It's not their first rodeo, and I'm sure the number of hours people have spent in board meetings just looking at slides for hours and hours and hours.
Oh God, yeah. Or going over a topic that beating it to death when it was an easy decision. Or yeah. No, Steve's been on numerous boards, nonprofit boards, and we've all had kind of our own experiences. But yeah, it was a good meeting. I guess that's a testament to getting the food and the technology right, and then everything else falls in place.
Yeah, it's probably about 50-50, isn't it? Good
Yeah.
barbecue, good technology. We're good to go.
Right. That does wonders to a board meeting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, no one wants to be bored and hungry at the same time.
This is exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
That's funny. Okay, I want to, before we wrap up here, I want to give you an opportunity to touch on anything else that you think other people should know. If there's something interesting you're doing in your board meetings that's made a big impact, any lessons you've learned along the way, anything at all you want to share.
Yeah, that's a big open up. I think for us, there's always like it's maybe I put the pressure on myself, but there's always like this intense like pressure to hit your marks and to hit what you need to hit in the time you need to hit it. And one thing that I've noticed with, especially with a fintech, and we issue commercial credit cards, which is a whole nother layer. So we're regulated like a bank because we're in that stream from the Fed to the consumer. For me, it's all about achieving those marks when I'm supposed to be achieving them. And the kind of coaching I got was fintechs, especially in this space, take a long time to get set up because there's a lot of nuances, a lot of pieces you got to get right. And sometimes you don't hit the marks right away. But that's why the multipliers are big. And that's why, you can push in Series A, Series B to scale is because you've had the right infrastructure early on. So take your time, build it, and try not to put so much pressure on yourself.
I think that's probably
Easier said
advice.
than done.
Yeah, it's probably advice every founder everywhere could benefit from.
Yeah,
Just
it's easier said than done. That's a practice that I'm not good at.
yeah, a daily practice of okay, there's good pressure and then there's just pressure. Good things take time.
This is right. This is right. So,
Yeah.
no, I appreciate the time today, and I appreciate y'all. Doing this and getting this together. It's been a great experience so far. I love the product. Love the experience we've had with it. And yeah, I'm sure, you ask me a year from now how we're using it, and it's going to be different than how we use it today. But very excited to kind of work with it and be here with
Yeah.
you.
Who knows? Maybe we'll do another series, an annual check-in to see how things have developed.
There you go. There you go. I feel like
Yeah.
it's terrible. Everything, the sky is falling.
Let's hope not.
Or it's great and we're growing and scaling. So
Yep.
I think it's probably the second of the two.
Yeah, that's what we'll aim for.
Yeah.
Well, we're so grateful that you took the time to let us pick your brain about your company and how you've been working with your board. I'm sure that your experience is going to be helpful for other people who are in your same shoes or similar shoes. So yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and chat with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, all right, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.